A stormy confirmation process for Biden's picks to the Supreme Court is drawing to a close. Today, we'll hear from outside witnesses arguing for and against the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Nobody disputes how qualified she is. Here's Joseph Drayton, an evaluator for the American Bar Association.
Unanimously, the bar appreciates Judge Jackson, sees that she has high competency, integrity, and temperament.
But over the course of 4 days, the hearings have also detoured into ugly partisan attacks. For more on this, we're joined by Dahlia Lithwick. She writes about the courts and the law for Slate and hosts the podcast Amicus. Dahlia, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So we have seen these hearings get uglier and uglier. Republicans tried to link Judge Jackson to critical race theory. They also picked up and persisted with a debunked claim that Judge Jackson was soft on sex offenders. So what were you thinking as you watched all of this develop?
I confess, and I don't surprise easily, this is my eighth Supreme Court confirmation hearing. I was surprised to see that even after that trial balloon that was floated just about a week ago by Senator Josh Hawley, suggesting that not only, you know, that she was too soft on pornographers and child abusers, but that in fact all of our children were unsafe as a consequence. I thought that got nipped in the bud. It was debunked roundly across the spectrum. Watching over the course of the days as more and more and more of Republicans who shied away from it initially, really wrapped themselves in it so that by the end of yesterday, they were shouting at her and cutting her off and demanding that she say whether she was sorry for those sentences. I was surprised that it kind of picked up speed and then just took off.
Well, what I wonder if you were surprised by the reaction of Democrats. Did you think that they stood up to defend her as they should have?
I was a little disappointed, and I suggested as much in a column last night. Cory Booker did do a truly stunning and I think important speech at the very end of last night's questioning, where he really did, I think, not just defend her, but sort of lifted up what it's like to sit there in stony-faced, stoic silence while you're being bullied. So I think he did a really deft job of making the point that this was not fair, it was untoward, it was scurrilous. But I do think that the Senate Democrats, just confronted with shouting and browbeating and bullying, weren't quite sure what to do in response. And so then they would sort of turn to the rule against perpetuities or something doctrinal instead.
So setting aside many of the partisan bickerings, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson was also asked about her judicial philosophy. She prefers to call it her methodology. Can you explain those two things?
Yeah, I actually kind of love that, Celeste. I think that the idea that we all walk around the world with fully articulated academic judicial philosophies is just a political idea. And what she said in response was, look, I've been a judge for 10 years. I don't have an elaborate constitutional philosophy, because that's not what trial courts do. Trial court judges simply have an approach to cases, which she called a methodology. She laid out the three parts of it. And essentially, she said, to have a judicial philosophy is actually a political act that gets in the way of being neutral. And so for somebody who's heard a lot of like highfalutin language over the years about judicial philosophy, it was quite refreshing to hear her say, I just have a toolbox. I just have an approach. That's what I've been doing for 10 years. And that's what I want to talk about.
So Judge Jackson's confirmation would not change the 6-3 conservative supermajority on the court. And there are some very consequential cases coming. Can you tell me about maybe one or two that we should be aware of?
Probably the most important that folks are watching is the Dobbs case. That's the Mississippi 15-week abortion ban. And I think, based on oral arguments, it looks as though the court is going to substantially reverse Roe v. Wade. And then I think there's a major, major gun case that would expand the rights to carry arms. And that also looks as though that's going to come down again by a 6-3 margin. And in addition to that, just big, big cases in the future about affirmative action and about the administrative state and the powers of government.
That is Slate's Dahlia Lithwick. She covers courts and the law, as always. Dahlia, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.